Good morning. Happy New Year. It's hard to believe it's a new year already. 2023. Time has gone by quickly. But welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. And welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We do have a few announcements. Our volunteers tomorrow at the food pantry are Michelle Lofgren and Rachel Wojtek. On Tuesday at 10 a.m., we're having Bible study right here. Wednesday at 8 a.m. is men's breakfast over at UCC. 5:45 is youth group here. Next Sunday is council meeting. And Sunday, January 29 at 10 a.m. is our annual meeting, which will be right over here. This month, we have a number of birthdays to celebrate. We have Tessa Johns, Clarence Morgan, Kay Thompson, Travis Pearson, Jeremiah Hawley, Walker Silvernagle, Lois Madsen, Todd Wagner, and Nathaniel Wagner. So with those who have birthdays this month, if you'll stand up so that we can pray for you. Oh God, our times are in your hand. Look with favor, we pray, on these your servants as they begin another year. Grant that they may grow in wisdom and grace and strengthen their trust in your goodness all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Happy birthday to you. Do we have any other announcements? Yes, the only other announcement is that I will be gone next Sunday. I'm actually leaving tomorrow for California. Little visit to see my husband, who has a list of things for me to do. I know people are saying, so you're going on vacation. If vacation means I'm cleaning out one or two rooms of a house, yeah, that's a vacation. So I know I'll be looking forward to coming back to you after I've been in California for about 30 minutes with all the traffic. I've tried to explain to people that the major traffic here are the turkeys that I encountered this morning. It's hard for people to fathom what traffic is like out here. Please stand as you're able for the confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, My Lord, What a Morning, number 438. Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you know that we cannot place our trust in our own powers. As you protected the infant Jesus, so defend us and all the needy from harm and adversity. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 63rd chapter of Isaiah. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord. Because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel, that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely, and he became their Savior in all their distress. It was no messenger angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. The Word of God. Let's read Psalm 148 responsively. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights. Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars. Praise the Lord, heaven and heavens, and the waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded, and they were created. May you stand as forever and ever. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, sovereign of the earth and all people, princes and all rulers of the world. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven. The Lord has raised up. The second reading is from the second chapter of Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in you. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Have any kids who want to come forward? Okay, I have one. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We've already heard a little bit about the value of family today. I don't know how many of you are interested in knowing more about your family, not just the people in your immediate family, but your ancestors. Have any of you done genealogical work? I see Lois. I see a couple people. Have any of you done DNA testing? I have, and so has my sister, and so have a few of our other relatives. It's genealogy, finding out who your ancestors are. Sometimes you hope that you're going to find someone important. Did you find anyone important in your research? They all were? That's true, because if it hadn't been for them, you wouldn't be here, right? That makes them a bit important. Well, I know that my DNA results show that my parents really were my parents. So forget all those childhood questions about being adopted. I can't be in this family, can I? No, I really am. That I'm descended from Baptist ministers and soldiers and farmers and sharecroppers and people who left home for a better or at least a different life. My dad's family has been here since before the American Revolution, and some of my ancestors are patriots. My mom emigrated here from Ireland. DNA testing indicates that my ancestry can be traced back to Ireland, England, Scotland, and Wales. According to Ancestry.com, I have 8,650 DNA matches on my mother's side and 33,269 on my father's side. That's just people who've done DNA tests. I'm related to a huge number of people. But the reality is, if we go far enough back, we're all related. Matthew's gospel begins with a genealogy, tracing Jesus' lineage to Abraham and David. The primary function of linear genealogies is to ascribe honor to a person by tracing ancestry to heroic forebears. Matthew does so, showing that Jesus descends from patriarchs and kings. The genealogy is unusual because it mentions women, and most of those women are unusual because all but one were either Gentiles or married to Gentiles. Tamar and Rahab were Canaanites, Ruth was a Moabite, and Bathsheba had been married to a Hittite. The genealogy concludes with this language, "And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah." It is a bit different from the genealogy set forth in the Gospel of Luke, which begins with Joseph and traces Jesus' ancestry back to Adam, showing his significance for all humankind, not just the Israelites. What Matthew is demonstrating in his genealogy is Jesus' twofold origin. He is human, having the legitimate prerequisites to be Israel's Messiah, able to trace his lineage to David. And he is divine, born of Mary through the Spirit of God. Who is this child? We're told that during the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." Did they take their eyes off the star? Did they simply believe that the child must be in Jerusalem at the palace? After all, where would you expect a king to be? When the wise men inquired of Herod about the whereabouts of the child, he called together the chief priests and the scribes to ask where the child was to be born. They searched the scriptures and responded, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" But we're not told that the chief priests and scribes left their duties to join the wise men in their search for the child. We're not told whether they put any stock in what the wise men were saying. There's no indication in the gospel that they believed that the Messiah had come and that he actually could be found in David's hometown of Bethlehem. They may know the scripture, but they do not seem to understand that this prophecy is being fulfilled in their lifetimes, in a child born in humble circumstances in David's city, only about 5 miles away, 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Mark's gospel states that when King Herod heard about the child, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. Frightened? Does that seem to us a strange response, to be frightened of a baby? Herod asked the wise men about the star they were following, learning from them the exact time when the star had appeared, and told them, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." When the wise men did not return, Herod, knowing that he had been tricked, flew into a rage. He ordered that all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years or under were to be killed. To Herod, Jesus was a threat to his power and authority and needed to be eliminated. This brings to mind another slaughter of young children, one set forth in the first chapter of Exodus, where Pharaoh ordered the death of all Israelite boys, fearing how numerous and powerful the Israelites were becoming. The mother of one newborn boy put him in a basket and placed it among the reeds where Pharaoh's daughter found it. And she decided to keep the child and make him her son, and she named him Moses. Throughout the Gospel of Matthew, we will see Jesus being compared to Moses as a new and better Moses who saves the people and puts God's law into their hearts. When the wise men found Jesus in a house, not a stable, which means that some time had passed since his birth, they prostrated themselves and worshipped him, giving him costly gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It is said that gold is for divinity, frankincense for sacrifice, and myrrh for suffering and death. We're told that they had a dream not to return to Herod, but to go home by another route. But we know nothing else about them. Did they inquire over the years about this new king? Did they wait anxiously for him to come to power? To Mary and Joseph, this child is their son. Joseph accepts the child based on an angelic message in a dream, and upon his birth, names him Jesus, Yeshua, meaning God saves. Joseph becomes a protector and earthly father of Mary's child. Joseph has a dream telling him to take the child and Mary and flee to Egypt and to stay there until he was told that they could leave. He does as the angel tells him. This child becomes a refugee, fleeing a nightmare situation where a tyrannical ruler seeks his death. Egypt, the land where another Joseph was taken in chains after being sold by his brothers into slavery. Egypt, the land where the Israelites became slaves after a king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Egypt, from which Moses led the people to journey in the wilderness for the promised land. The land of captivity becomes a land of safety for this refugee family. Time passes, and Herod the Great dies. But his son, Archelaus, becomes ruler of Judea in his place, so Joseph was afraid to go there. Instead, after being warned in a dream, he went to the district of Galilee and made his home in Nazareth, a city about 55 miles north of Jerusalem. Matthew claims that Jesus fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. However, nothing in the Old Testament explicitly states that the Messiah would come from Nazareth. It is possible that Matthew is referring to prophecies such as those in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, where the Messiah would be despised and treated with scorn. During the time of Jesus, people from Nazareth appeared to have been held in low esteem. Nothing good can come out of Nazareth, seems to be a popular saying. We hear it in John's Gospel when Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" This child, this little one born in Bethlehem, exiled in Egypt and raised in Nazareth, will be subjected to scorn and ridicule. As we continue this year through the book of Matthew, we will see again and again how Jesus is a fulfillment of what was begun in Abraham and Moses, the fulfillment of prophecy, the heir to the throne of David, the one who is both fully human and fully divine, the one whose throne is a cross, the one who died but is alive, the one who sends his followers out to make disciples of all nations. Who is this child? Who do you say he is? How does your answer impact the way you plan to live in this new year, 2023? Let me share these words which Methodist founder John Wesley wrote for a service in which believers renewed their covenant with God. Our relationship with God is covenantal, not contractual. When one party to a contract fails to perform, the contract is broken, ending the obligation of the other party. A covenant remains intact even when one party breaches it. God has made a covenant and has pledged to remain faithful even when we are not. The beginning of a new year seems a good time to hear and reflect on these words. This is what John Wesley wrote. I'm no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. In the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, Love Divine, All Loves Excel.
Thank you.
let us now proclaim our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With wonder and thanksgiving for Christ coming into the world, we pray for the Church, the life of the earth, and the whole human family. Merciful God, broaden the Church's hospitality and welcome. Open our hearts to any in need of refuge and help, especially those who are persecuted. Prosper the work of Lutheran immigration and refugee services. God of grace, hear our prayer. Life-giving God, restore the health of the soil, the seas, and the air. Increase the joy and praise of all living things. In the coming year, strengthen local, national, and international efforts to prevent further harm to the environment. God of grace, hear our prayer. Liberating God, deliver your people from cruel oppression. Increase justice in every nation and keep the dream of freedom alive. In this new year, bring the blessing of peace and put an end to violent conflicts throughout the world. God of grace, hear our prayer. Uplifting God, raise all who are bowed down by trouble and need, especially individuals and families living in poverty, and those who are on our prayer chain, and those that we name aloud are in the quietness of our hearts. Protect and nurture all children. Sustain those who parent, teach, and care for the young. God of grace, hear our prayer. Abiding God, accompany this community in the coming year. Increase our love for one another and the neighbors we serve. Enrich our worship and deepen our faith. Sustain all who minister in your name. God of grace, hear our prayer. Loving God, the holy innocents who perish in every generation are safe in your keeping. We give you thanks and praise for all the faithful who have gone before us into everlasting life with you, especially those that we name aloud in the quietness of our hearts. God of grace, hear our prayer. Honoring the mystery of eternal love made flesh in Christ Jesus, we commend all for whom we pray to the mercy of God. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for sending your offering to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory, What Child Is This, number 296.